Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel again. Anyway, so in this video I'm going to be talking about what's happening in the Netherlands, because just a few days ago there was a surprise election result where the Partij voor de Vrijheid became the largest single party in the Netherlands, got a plurality of the votes. They didn't get a majority, I don't think any party's got a majority there for a very long time, because there are many different political parties and its electoral system doesn't lend itself to domination by a single party. Invariably their coalitions, usually of three or more parties, just two is not enough to make it. But Geert Wilders, who is a bit of an outcast of Dutch politics for the past quarter of century, he's the leader of that largest party. So who is Geert Wilders? He's a 60-year-old man who was born in the Netherlands to a German father and a Dutch mother. He de-emphasizes his German side. Like most Dutch people, he speaks flawless English. So he went to Israel when he was 18. I'd never worked in a kibbutz or whatever. That was a kind of fashionable thing to do in his youth. But anyway, he's always been an outspoken advocate of Zionism ever since. And he certainly says he's against Islam. He says he's not against Muslims. But that distinction is lost in a lot of Muslims and in a lot of his supporters. So he said that the Quran is bad and must be outlawed and things like that. So he said he's not against all immigration, but he wants to bring it down. He wants the Netherlands to accept no asylum seekers whatsoever. But he says that Islam's an existential threat to Occidental civilization, and he's against it for very liberal reasons, saying it's inimical to gender equality and to gay rights and so forth. And these are values that most Dutch people hold dear. Other people say, well, that's a dog whistle to just anti-Muslim bigotry. So the Netherlands is quite an ethnically diverse country, about 20% non-white, and many of the whites are ethnic minority whites who moved in from Poland or Romania or whatever, and they're largely accepted. The non-white community, some of them are Dutch citizens, born Dutch citizens from the Netherlands, Antilles, Aruba, Bonaire, Curaçao, Sint Maarten, and so forth, or from erstwhile Dutch colonies such as Suriname or Indonesia. And then indeed there are people who've moved like directly from Nigeria or China, wherever. There's a significant Moroccan community as well. And many people are Dutch citizens, and there's a small Turkish community. Likewise, they've been there for two generations in many cases. So there's some ethnic minority Dutch people as well. So he says it's really about religion. It's not about race. People of any race are welcome there. He was that was her name, Ayan Hirsi, that Somali woman who's an ex-Muslim. And as he has encouraged other people, Muslims, to reject the faith, he's embraced her. So I remember way back in about 2010, he was on trial for supposed incitement to racial hatred. He's found not guilty. I remember him listening to a speech for the Rechtsbanker. They're saying, for the Freiheit, ain't the Wahrheit, and quoting Martin Luther saying, here I am, I can do no other but tell the truth. So that was him. And he tried to visit the United Kingdom in early 2019 under the Labour government. And notoriously, he was deported as being not conducive to the public good. So much for freedom of people in the European Union. And yes, I know there were exemptions at the time. Remember, the United Kingdom was within the European Union at the time. So he was a Dutch MP, leader of a lawful political party that a significant number of Dutch people voted for. And yet he was deported despite never having convicted of any crime. And those days never even accused of any crime. And nevertheless, he was deprived of his right to travel to the United Kingdom to speak. You might think that what he says is rebarbative and so on. Fine. But he should be allowed to say his piece, just as his opponents are allowed to say what they want. And people weren't allowed to hear him in person in the United Kingdom, which was a gross usurpation of everybody's rights. He's a Eurosceptic, but he recognizes the Netherlands does not want to leave the European Union. But the fact that the Eurosceptic Party can do so well should be a bit of a wake-up call for the European Union. I don't think the Netherlands will ever leave the EU, but support for EU membership is not as sky-high as it used to be, maybe like 70%. It would have been over 90% not so long ago. But the Netherlands has surprised us before. Cast your mind back to 2004, there was a referendum on having a European constitution, and it was the Netherlands and France who voted no. Remember, the Netherlands is one of the founding countries of the European Union, and was part of an embryonic EU before that, the Benelux, a customs union of the Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. So I don't think he managed to get the prime ministership, because the premiership is still held by Mark Rutte. But Wilders, even though it's the largest party, he's well short of a majority, got only 37 seats in a 150-seat parliament. How is he going to cobble together a coalition of 150 seats? The Partij voor de Arbeid, which is the Dutch Labour Party, they said that they will not have anything to do with him. The VVD, likewise, led by a Turkish-Dutch woman, Dilan Yesud Göz, yeah, she'll go to, she said that she shan't cooperate with him. So he's just not going to have enough allies. So what is the Bürgerbund, as in the Farmers Union, that political party, they might work with him, but there's just so few of them. But there's a growing urban-rural divide. Now, it's quite a not a very large country in area. So because it's only, it's like 24,000 square kilometers or something, and 18 million people, so quite crowded. They've taken a lot of refugees from Ukraine, for example. But you say, is there anywhere that really is rural in the Netherlands? Because you can never be that far from Rotterdam or Amsterdam. Anyway, so I'd like to visit myself. So people say, oh, he's far right. I mean, I'm not sure that he is, actually. In some ways, he's just like a farouche liberal. But he says he's not racist. I'm not aware of anything he said that's racist. He said things which are religionist, but religion is not race. You are born into an ethnicity. You're not born into a religion. You might be brought up in a religion. You can change your religion. You can't change your race. But you might say, well, that's splitting hairs. And he's still appealing to this dislike of the other and things like that. So we'll see what's going to happen. But, you know, even if he doesn't get into government, he's at least going to be a significant force in politics, a major opposition party. So the second and third biggest parties refuse to work with him. He'd have to have almost everybody else to work with him for that to pan out. And that's obviously not going to happen because some of them are far left parties, which are just diametrically opposed to his worldview. He's obviously been fiercely advocating for what Israel is doing with regard to Gaza and things like that. So he's certainly a philo-Semite. So I don't think you can really call him a neo-Nazi, as anti-Jewish prejudice is central to Nazism. He said his father left Germany because he's so horrified by National Socialism. Over there, he likes to travel to the United States. He's outspoken in his pro-American views. But he says that Ukraine is not a problem. The Netherlands has given too much, is giving these old F-16 fighters, and it just can't afford to do this, and this not to give another bullet to Ukraine. So that's obviously very troubling for Ukraine. Even if that policy is not implemented, it shows that it's a growing sense. And even if the Dutch government continues to arm Ukraine, it's going to do it at a lower rate because of that. So that's part of a wider trend in the European Union. But one mustn't oversimplify. You look at the Poland, where a centre-left government has been ushered into office just a few weeks ago. And in some cases in the European Union, it's moving the opposite direction. People might draw parallels between Geert Wilders and Javier Milei, the president-elect of the Republic of the Argentine. Anyway, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe, please, and donate on PayPal. Go on to Patreon, subscribe on Patreon, and get access to thousands of articles and videos behind the paywall. All right, goodbye, everybody.